Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Okay, it's time to touch base with another power edition of Blogger Diaries. This is your Q&A, your 101 FAQs answered weekly session about starting a blog, making money out of the blog, getting your blog to pop, becoming one of these people that rides around the world in private jets and goes to all sorts of cool things because you're this blogger extraordinaire. And when it comes to blogging, there's two ladies who got this model waxed, and they continue to wax it further every week as they add to their blogs. Let's say what's happening to Mary Lou.
Hey, guys.
How's it going? Happy Youth Day.
Happy Youth Day. And I have to tell you something that made me giggle on the way here, is that someone's number plate is ugly. Not ugly, like ugly.
Ugly?
Like with
ugly.
An O.
Why you say
just,
ugly?
Like, I just chuckled to myself. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. And it's like an old granny driving it.
I thought it was like a, you know that Nigerian accent that say ugly.
I mean, doesn't her kids tell her, like, no, Gran?
Okay, well, I'm sure that your whole rant is on Snapchat, because your rants always
are. I didn't, because I was scared my battery's going to die, because my phone is so messed up.
Let's say what's happening. You heard there from Warda Hartley. How are you?
I am fine. I just had, like, the best nap ever. Like, power nap on this lovely public holiday.
Well, I know that you were working hard yesterday because we were watching you on ENCA when they had time to cut to sport in between Oscar running around the courtroom.
Shame. Like, you know, we've had this debate on Facebook. I had this debate on Facebook with all my friends. And while I feel sorry for him, he must still go sit in prison. I'm sorry, guy. You know,
yeah,
like,
he killed someone.
You want to run with able-bodied athletes, and you want to be treated equally. So when you do something bad, we got to give you the same treatment.
Exactly.
Is what it is. All right. But it's not about Oscar today. It's about starting a blog. And in this case, starting a blog in a bit of a niche space, but completely owning that space, which is what Tech Girl do. Talk to me about this guest that we have on the panel today.
Sam Wright is awesome. We've been trying to get Sam for like the longest time. She is the lady behind techgirl.co.za. She's in a sphere where not many brave women dare to tread, with the gaming world and the tech world. And yeah, I suppose it's always been seen as a guy's world, but I mean, you're owning it, girl.
Oh, thanks, man. I like all these compliments. Can we just keep throwing them at me for the rest of this month?
We seem to have that going on, for sure.
My head is just like getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
How would you describe Tech Girl?
So Tech Girl is really just a really strange place where I like to be an idiot, to be honest. And I'm a bit of a geeky girl, so I like gadgets, I like gaming. That's always been my vibe. And I wanted to do something because I think that there's a lot of other girls just like me. And I think that girls that don't even think that they're into tech and gaming are just like me. And Tech Girl is that place where they can fit in and they can feel comfortable and they don't have to feel a little bit sort of scared of the very serious gaming world or very serious tech world, which is quite scary when you first go in there.
When you speak about girl and tech girl, this is my number one question. Do you get any slack in this industry because you're a girl and you're speaking about tech and geeky stuff that like is seen as like a guy's realm?
So no, funny enough, not from guys. I get some flack from some of the other from women in the industry who feel like I'm a bit silly and stupid and maybe I make a mockery of it because they want to be taken seriously, which I completely get. But I think that's the joy about a blog is that I can be a bit of an idiot.
And you can do whatever you want. That's the creativity behind a blog.
Exactly, and I think that my personality is such that, to be honest, it is who I am. So I can't pretend not to be like that. I had it recently where someone complained because I do these gaming videos. Where I play video games with other girls, and I'm terrible at gaming. Like I'm a bad gamer. I die a lot, and so I play and I die a lot. And someone came out and said, "Oh, you know, there's not a lot of women in the gaming space, and when you do this, it just feeds the stereotype that women are not good at games." And I was like, "No, but it's to be completely honest, then I am the stereotype, and there's nothing I can do about that. But I would rather be honest and show that because I think." There's a lot of guys as well who suck at video games.
Exactly.
So it's just a cool space where everyone can feel comfortable. So, yeah, you get a bit of flack, but I think that you just – negativity must just be left alone. And
but I think it's very nice how you've also integrated a little bit of lifestyle into your blog as well because, I mean, you're doing beauty reviews now as well. So it's feeding into that whole sphere of, yes, I'm a tech girl and I like gadgets and gizmos, but I also like to look pretty and I also care about these things. I'm not a total geek. You know, I can look pretty too.
Well, I think that's the most important thing is that when you say a tech girl, you immediately have an assumption, or a girl that plays games, of someone who's very socially dowdy awkward and dowdy and doesn't wear makeup. And I wanted to show that that's not the case at all. But also speak to girls who are into beauty and who are into fashion, because believe it or not, they're using phones, they use laptops, they're just as interested in tech. So find a place where they could feel comfortable to go and get the information they needed, as opposed to feeling really overwhelmed when they go to a tech blog that's written by a man and is very serious and gets into the serious stuff, and they just feel... You feel a bit dumb sometimes when you go and read that stuff and think, oh, how do I not know that? So it was really just about creating like a fun, safe, stupid place.
But you're also very clever with your blog. I mean, you work at Webfluential as well, so you understand monetizing your blog, and you've done quite a good job of that. So whenever we hear people do that with their blogs, we want to know, when did you take that step? How did you get your blog to that point? Because I think that's a lot what new bloggers want to know, like, when or how, what does that road entail to get your blog to a point where it's monetizable? Is that a word?
Yeah. It is now.
Like, what point?
So I think that the first thing is that if you set up a blog to make money, you probably won't. So that's like lesson number one. And it really was, it was a plan when we started it. I'd had a blog before, and I'd sort of been getting paid on and off for certain things. And I do have a journalism background, so I'd done freelance writing. So I sort of always, I started Tickle because I just wanted a fun place to play around. And I had a day job before Webfluential at an engineering firm. So making money off a blog was never a thing that I had to do. Mm. So it really came from a passion. But then it just became on focusing on things that I loved and learning very quickly that when brands approach you to do stuff, how best you can work with them. And in terms of monetizing the blog, it really came down to studying people that I aspired to be like and people overseas and seeing how they were doing it and then trying to adopt that model myself. Mm. And it starts out with a little bit of trust, to be honest. You got to go to one brand and be like, this is kind of what I want to do. Are you willing to give me money? Hope they give you money and you do a good job. Mm. So it really, I fell into it. It wasn't like a plan. But once I sort of realized where I wanted to be, it came down to just studying. And I still do. Every single day I watch top YouTubers, I read blogs I don't even like about parenting because they're making money and they're really good and I want to see what they do. I spend most of my free time on Snapchat watching Snapchat stars, like, and just learning and seeing what they're doing and figuring it out. And I think that that's the most important thing. And then always making sure that I'm not doing exactly the same thing as them, or I'm not necessarily copying someone, but figuring out how I can implement it to suit me and being very, very strict. I think the reason I've, in the last sort of 6 to 7 months, I've started making good money on Tekkle and making it a viable sort of business is because I've never aligned myself with a brand that I wouldn't personally go and buy, which I think is the most important thing, is I don't work with brands that I don't think are good or that I wouldn't spend my money on, which also means that I lose a lot of money as well, but whatever. Yeah.
I think a lot of misconception about bloggers is that, like, you're out there to make money and your primary goal is to start this blog and eventually be able to live off it. But I think, like, most people really need to realize that we had a passion before all this money business started, you know, that we actually truly enjoyed reading up about something, testing something out, and then writing about it or making videos about it before thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a millionaire off this, you know. So I think that's a lot of misconceptions that a lot of bloggers have. Like we spoke about last week, it's like you have to find a niche area and then make sure a lot of other people aren't doing it. And then, you know, you really need to work on it, do your research. But then I feel like, yeah, it's all good and well eventually when you do want to monetize it. But I feel like there's no point finding a niche area and where there's like you get a lot of hits and all that stuff if you don't actually enjoy that topic at all.
It has to be authentic.
Absolutely. So like, well, let's talk about something exciting, because I know like you always go to these amazing events, and I think in the tech world there's always these amazing events, like
launches that you go all over the world.
Yeah. So tell me about some of the really awesome events you've been to. Which one is the best one?
So I got to go to New York for Acer launches. I'm such a brat. I love talking about all the cool stuff I get to do. So I got to go. Acer launches their new range once a year in New York, where they like showcase all their new products and stuff. And they flew me to New York to go and check that out last year.
So that's insane.
Cool. How can I work that into a
film? I was about to say, never, don't start a blog for the free stuff. But yes, I got to go to New York. Yeah. So that was amazing. New York has been on my bucket list my entire life. Mm-hmm. I went there. I arrived so sick because I'd been in London 2 days before for something else.
Oh my gosh, you're living the life.
So got to New York so sick, and New York is, it's my back, like I've always wanted to be there. Arrived, was like, I'm just never gonna sleep. I got home and spent 2 weeks in bed with like pneumonia, but I didn't even care. Walked around the whole of New York, didn't sleep for 3 days. That's put me incredible. Up in a really nice hotel that I never saw, and just got to see the whole of New York and got to go to the new World Trade Center at the top where they launched the products and play with really cool gaming laptops, which was amazing.
That's awesome. So how's your goodie bags? I mean, like, you know, like if you go to like a fashion or beauty launch, you get like a product. I mean, which isn't even that
expensive.
She
gets a MacBook, you get mascara.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I wish I got That's what MacBook. I'm trying to get at. Do you get those things? Like,
no. So this is a huge misconception. So everyone thinks, do you know that every single person I know at some point has come and asked me for a phone? Because they just presume that. I think that they think I sit at home every day and people just throw these smartphones at me. Yeah. Most tech stuff, and this is the big surprise. So when you do beauty or you do lifestyle, you get given this cool little bag and it's full of stuff and you get to keep it, or you get clothes to keep. Tech is not like that. They give you the phone for 2 weeks. You review it. It goes back.
Oh, really?
You get the laptop. Those are expensive. I mean, no one's giving you a 10,000 rand phone to keep. So you don't get to keep the stuff. It comes, you review it, it goes back. That's standard procedure.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you're lucky and someone will say, do you want something for long-term review? Which basically means 6 months and then they're going to come and fetch it. Which is terrifying, because to keep something, I made the huge mistake of being given a very nice Apple iPhone on long-term review, and I fell up the stairs and dropped it and smashed the
screen. What happens then? Oh, I mean, it's not your, they've insured it.
No, they were really good. One, I had just bought an iPhone, so I think that they were quite happy that I'd already spent my own cash on one. Okay. So they sort of let it slide. But also, no, in those cases, they do have insurance.
Yeah.
So they understand that if you're reviewing it in like a real-world situation, the chances are you might slip and fall and smash it. Some brands want you to sign an indemnity when it arrives. I don't know anyone in the industry that signs them. Because we've all sort of said, if you want us to review this properly and to really sort of get a feel for the phone, it's going to be in a real-life situation. There is a chance it's going to get dropped. There is a chance it might be stolen. We did a review on TechGirl yesterday where I've got a girl that also contributes. Her name's Jade. She's a friend of mine. And she got given a phone that they said was waterproof. So she threw it in the bath and videoed it just for fun. It worked. So we did have a moment, though, where we were a bit worried because we're like, oh, it's going to be awkward having to phone the brand if this phone doesn't work.
But then it's false advertising on their part.
So we don't get to keep the cool swag. We do get amazing stuff. We get to go on amazing trips. We get to do amazing things and see stuff first, play with cool stuff. But in terms of keeping it, not very often.
So what about games, though? Like, surely they don't take the game back.
No, video games I do get to keep. They normally send them to us just before they release, which is amazing. And then, yes, I just get to play video games. So I do get to keep video games.
And then I know you started, you're focusing more on vlogging now, and you did such an awesome thing with a chewing gum brand, and it was so funny. So you guys must check it out on Sam's page. What made you make the change to that, and what has been, you know, in terms of the traction with that versus your traditional blog?
So what actually happened was, Instagram, YouTube, and Snapchat are becoming like the major channels in the rest of the world. I jumped on Snapchat about 7 months ago before anyone in South Africa seemed to use it, and started following some of the bigger guys and ended up like talking to them. So Sam Sheffer, a guy who works at Mashable, he's amazing. Like, started chatting to him and being his stalker. And then another guy called Chris Carmichael, who's just set up his own app. So like, started watching them, started spending a lot of time on Snapchat. And the YouTube move actually came from Snapchat, because I started getting quite a weird following of like Americans and guys in Europe, and they were like, oh, we really like your stuff, but they don't want to read the blog. So I thought, oh, I'll start a YouTube channel. It's been really tough, though. YouTube is so hard, and I'm not very good at it, so there's that. But yeah, so that was the jump. So the blog's still going, but now I'm trying to do more YouTube and Snapchat stuff. I just think visual is also more fun.
You can express yourself more, you know.
We speak a lot about picking the right platform and the thing to invest time in, because, I mean, do you think someone can really be big across all platforms?
No.
Yeah, it's impossible, right, to be big on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. It's overwhelming, so you've got to pick the thing that works best for you.
Definitely, and I think, like, so someone like Chris Carmichael, who's one of the biggest Snapchat stars worldwide, and he was one of the first guys that got into Snapchat. I mean, he has 15 million views on a Snapchat.
That's insane.
I think he has, like, 3,000 Twitter followers, and the reason is because he's so bad on...
Wait, I want to follow this guy. Who is this?
Chris Carmichael. Like, he hasn't been on Snapchat for a while. I love him, but I mean, he he's got like 4,000. He's boring on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter. I'm like, oh, you're so boring. But on Snapchat, he's amazing. And there was a group of them that started on Snapchat. Another guy called Sean Chonduras, who's also now moved to YouTube. Sam Sheffer, who's at Mashable. I mean, their Snapchat content is incredible. They're getting millions of views. People love them on Snapchat. Follow them on another platform. They don't get it. And that's because your content sort of suits a particular niche.
Mm.
So I'm trying with the YouTube thing. I can't, I'm not going to be hitting like millions of views anytime soon and becoming the next YouTube superstar. I just like doing YouTube. But I think that if you want to do something, you can't do it across. You're either going to be really good at Instagram, like you said, really good. Maybe you're just really good with Twitter, or you have a good blog. To cross over is difficult. I think you can be half decent at all of them, and then choose one that you're really good at. And if you're lucky like me, you can sort of be kind of decent at all of them and then get away with it.
Let's talk consistency for a second as well. I mean, you've built this, but you regularly are just putting content out there. And we speak about this a lot. Do you post once a week? Do you post twice a week? How have you figured that out in the context of what you're trying to achieve?
So for me, when I started, I decided that I was all going to have one blog post go up a day. For 5 days. So during the week, during the working days, a blog post goes up. There's one guaranteed that will go up. That was just because at the time when I entered the niche, there was actually no tech blogs. There was only tech websites, and they were just pushing out content every day. And I made the mistake of mirroring myself on them and sort of thought that that was the way to go and started doing that. In the positive, I was able to grow my blog far faster than I think other bloggers in South Africa do because there was so much content going out. But I think that you do have to have some sort of consistency. So people need to know that you will have something up once a week. So from that side of things, there needs to be some sort of schedule. My schedule is still one blog post every day during the week. And I think on YouTube, you have to have consistency. If you're not putting something, if you're not guaranteed a video a week, no one cares.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's why Mary's doing videos every week.
Except for this week and last week. I've been so bad.
Oh, well, you've just been schooled now. Okay, cool. Let's get some closing remarks here. And by the way, you've been so insightful. What a rock star.
Let's keep get the some compliments coming.
Closing questions here. Let's get Sam on the spot here. Anything specific we want to drill hard? Come on, Mary, get your Deborah Patter on.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, she's just been giving so much information, without us having to overly, question her. So I don't think she's left out anything. Oh, okay. So let's talk about advertising your blog post now. So you said you post every day, 5 times a week. So, do you go on all platforms like your Snapchat, your Instagram, your Twitter, and then you say, hey, guys, new blog post up? How does it work with that? How do you link it up?
Yeah. So I do a blog post, and then I have a day job, so this all happens early in the morning, late at night, or on weekends, and then I schedule social. So I'll do three or four tweets across sort of the next 3 days to push the post. One Facebook post, because otherwise I just think Facebook gets annoying after a while. And if I'm dead honest, the only time I promote something on Snapchat is when I think it is absolutely amazing, because my Snapchat audience, who I love more than anyone else, are also the most vicious. So they only get the cool stuff, because if I posted something that they didn't think was absolutely amazing, they would just slate me.
Is it?
And then they send personal videos and you watch them by mistake.
Oh,
and
that's wow. Okay.
Do you keep your, what do you call that, like a inbox thing open to public?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't do that. I made the mistake of doing it in the beginning. The I had literally guys sending me not naked.
Penis pictures.
Of course you've got penis pictures, man. I've got penis pictures.
I was so freaked out.
Did you?
How sad that we're out of time and we can't discuss dick pics further. Okay, cool. Listen, you've been such a rock star and people want to check out everything that you're doing. So how do we get involved, Sam?
Okay, so you can obviously go to the blog. It's techgirl.co.za. And then all my social is techgirlza. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And then if you want to check out my YouTube channel, please, because it's so small and not very prominent at the moment, then you can head to youtube.com/samwrighttechgirl, and that's right with a W. And if you really want to see the weirder side, you can go to my Snapchat, which is IamSamW22.
Power. All right, and keeping up with you two is really easy. How do we get involved?
Fabufit.co.za for all your fitness and wellness news. And I'm Warda Hartley, one word on Instagram. Warda Hartley, one word on Snapchat. Yes, I'm also trying to grow my Snapchat audience. So, yeah, I'm not too active on Twitter. Twitter's just for info purposes.
I agree. Yeah, follow me on Love Mary Lou. Everywhere, actually. And then if you have to pick one platform, I think you should follow me on Snapchat.
Fantastic. There you go. That's where you'll see Mary rant about everything.
Yeah. Just don't play it around your parents too loud. gosh starts cussing, or around your small nephews and nieces, because that's happened to me.
All right, that's another power edition of Blogger Diaries. Thanks everybody for stopping by on Youth Day.
Thank you.
Cheers. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.